Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello. What's up, Smith?
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. This is Wager Maker Podcast number 23 already. What do you think about that, Weber?
MJ, baby, number 23.
That's right. If Emmett Smith was 22, Michael Jordan's got to be 23. I knew that.
Goddamn right.
So we got all kinds of stuff to talk about tonight. We got a special guest coming from Hold the Mayo. Devin Michael Snow is going to come on. He does a great job down here in New Orleans. We're going to talk to him a little bit about, man, Webb, it was a roller coaster weekend down here in New Orleans.
Yeah,
man.
It's a highs and lows, highs and lows.
Football, the life of a football fan. Sharon sometimes says, how do you do this? How do you do this to yourself? Because he's caught up in
shit. Who knows?
It's living, baby. This is living.
That's right. How else would you do it? How else would you do it?
Sit there. We could sit here watching a movie, or we could live and die with every play of this shit.
Right. That's right.
So, obviously, big news of the week. LSU goes into Alabama and puts the hurting down on Alabama, ends up number one in the college football rankings. That was a crazy game, Rob.
Put a smackdown on them, no doubt, beginning to end. They look good. They really did. Impressive win. They deserve the top ranking that they got. So we'll see. But again, we talked about this last week. It will play itself out. Bama, I guess, fell to 5. I'm not too concerned. The top four, I'm fairly confident that we'll be in there. But good for LSU. We had them.
I really think, at this point, you got LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson are the top three with Georgia in number four. Yeah. I really only see one spot for somebody else to sneak in. I feel like Alabama is probably going to come in the back door at some point down the road in this thing. Unless Georgia would go in and really run out and win the SEC championship and win the championship game against an LSU team at that point. Other than that, I think there's one spot left for somebody else to sneak in, whether it's somebody from the West like Oregon or maybe in Oklahoma or
it's not going to be Oklahoma.
Right.
But you still have Minnesota and Baylor that are undefeated. So if it gets really muddy, I don't know how it's going to be hard, especially someone like Minnesota goes in and wins the Big Ten. How would you keep them out of the top four
right.
for sure?
Right, because they had a huge win this week against Penn State. So all of a sudden, they're starting to put some skins on the wall too.
Right, you know? Right. They have almost a legitimate argument. Even Baylor would have to beat. They still have a couple deep. I mean, it wouldn't be as impressive as some others, but. You know, if you're looking at a couple of teams with two losses, someone else at that fourth spot, and Baylor's whatever it's going to be, 9-10, and with a Big 12 championship underneath them, so that would be hard to keep them out of maybe the fourth spot there.
Right.
Too,
well, that's a huge game in the Big 12 this week. Is Oklahoma goes to Baylor, so we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see if Baylor's able to hold up and keep that run going. And even Minnesota's got a pretty tough game. Obviously, they had their biggest test of the year last week against Penn State, but they have a big game. They go into Iowa. This week coming up, so that's going to be a tough one. So
that's a big one too. It's funny, they're both getting points too, both of them.
So we'll be getting into all those picks in a little while. Obviously, we're still talking about this LSU game. I think Joe Burrow. I mean, you can say the man at this point is the Heisman winner. Would you agree with that or what?
Who else would you give it to? Yeah, I mean,
nobody.
That's over. Yeah, it's over. I mean, there's no one else. No one else in the conversation. Who can even? That maybe the dude Chase Young, but that's another whole ridiculous story. They weren't going to give it to him anyway, right. Defensive end. But that's just ridiculous. They suspended him. Looks like the two games. He'll be back. He's missing this week.
Well, he's suspended for Rutgers and Maryland.
Rutgers and Maryland. Yeah.
That's a slap on the wrist.
Anyway, he borrowed money for his girlfriend to go to Pasadena or whatever it was for the Rose Bowl. Paid the money back, and they suspended. Come on, man.
Right. Right.
And then literally, yeah, so you suspend them for the Maryland game and the Rutgers. They're laying 52.5 points to Rutgers.
And I still think we might take Ohio State this week.
Right,
I don't know. We went against it last week. We said, man,
they're
laying 40-something to Maryland. That's ridiculous. And we took Maryland, and I think they had the 43 covered at the halftime.
It's ridiculous. I don't even know. And there's not enough time in the game. Like it's a function of like physics. How does it happen? I don't know.
Coach O, man, this dude has done a great job down at LSU. I think they got him on a cheap a little bit because he's such a purple and gold guy. I think they're going to have to pay him. I think he's one of the lower paid, actually, in the SEC coaches right now.
He's got a little bit of a checkered history, though, doesn't he? I think that's why he kind of
ended
up there.
Yeah, well, he went,
there.
He, he, uh, he coached, I think he was a head coach at Ole Miss for a little while, did terrible over there, but he's been an assistant a lot of places.
He was with Lane Kiffin at USC. He had some run-ins. He had a couple run-ins.
Right. Well, he was with the Lane Kiffin crew.
Yeah, and he's got some demons, too.
He's always been known as a great recruiter, but I think this is finally.
Well, they can see that, yeah.
Yep. So, but obviously doing a real good job over there, so we'll see
how it turns out. No doubt. Listen, they got, you know, we've been saying it all year. Ohio State's been crushing teams. The only team that, you know, is even neck and neck with them, and I would say neck and neck would be LSU. So, right. I mean, I would love to see Ohio State, LSU.
That would be a hell of a game right now. I'll tell you what, it would be a coin toss to me at this point. Because I know Ohio State maybe hasn't played some of they whoop ass.
They're good. Yeah.
We'll see. They still got a couple games left, a couple big games left. You know, talking about Coach O, I thought I was impressed because after the game, man, usually you see coaches talking about the game. There was a couple videos that leaked out of him in the locker room and him talking to the team afterwards. And he was getting a point across like, this isn't a one-time out of 8-year deal. This is how it's going to be from now on. We own this place. This is our house. I mean, whether or not that yet to be seen, we'll see how that works out. But he's building for the future. Even like up there, the video leaked out. I don't know if you saw it or not, where he's like, fuck Alabama, and shit like that. So
that was pretty fun. It's great.
right. He's good. He's getting to the fans love him.
That's what you want, especially as a fan. That's absolutely what you want.
Right. So, and then we woke up on Sunday morning, Webb. Saints fans down here woke up Sunday morning, the arch rival coming to town. And really, I mean, you told me, man, you got to get to the dome, root for my team. I got him in a suicide pool. Brad Bohannon had him in a suicide pool, the big pool we're in. And I said, man, you don't even need me there today. They're going to win. Well, they're going to win.
Yeah.
I was
they
wrong.
They are never even a game.
They got their ass handed to them. I don't know what the deal is. I watched the first game. I watched with my new granddaughter, so she's now officially 0-1.
Right.
And so I told her I'd give her another shot, but I'm kind of superstitious. I'll probably watch some more games with her, but that was a tough first game for us.
Yeah.
And then Sean Payton this past week got engaged. He got engaged a block away from where I'm at every day of my life. He could have let me in on it since I gave him the pep talk.
Since you won
nine games straight. Right. He might have let me know, listen, man, I just engaged. I'm probably kind of busy Friday night, so you might want to get another pep talk going because I'm going to need some help. Maybe you should have done that. Maybe you should have recorded my thing and played it in the locker room before the game.
Right. At least a halftime, something.
So that game sucked. I don't know what else to say. We're going to get into the LSU and the Saints game a lot more in a little while when Devin comes on a little while. And just we got a couple things we can talk about. Some things in the news this week I thought were funny, Webb. They got I saw a report come out something about that some company followed Harden from the Rockets, and there's all these stats and everything about how if he's in a city that has the higher rated strip clubs that he plays way worse.
So they're not saying he doesn't go. They're just saying the better ones are where he has more fun.
Like he might be in a town that has shitty strip clubs and he just plays better. Maybe he doesn't stay out as late. I'm not saying in a crappy town he doesn't go to the strip clubs there. I'm just saying nice ones they're showing like in Miami they got the highest rate of strip clubs and that's where he plays like his worst games against the Heat.
Can't blame him.
I just saw that. How do you think? Imagine if we were in the NBA.
Oh my God.
I don't even want to get into that on here, but
yeah,
I can see how that could happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Understandable.
All the money, guys got all the money in the world. The money in the world.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was funny.
Yep. That's great. I love it.
Speaking of the NBA, so they got the I think the guy on the Heat. Did you see that? The Dion Waiters, right? He's on the private jet. They're flying to the plane out west, and he starts having a panic attack from one of the edibles he ate. So they had to make like an emergency landing or something, and he had to get medical attention. He missed the game that night, obviously, and stuff like that. He flew back with the team, but
waved him.
They did. I didn't know that.
They waved him. Yeah. But now, how is that conversation on the plane? This dude has been doing this shit. Let's say he's 25. He's doing this half his life for sure. So he's telling
and they're all stoned. Everybody in the NBA is stoned.
What?
Everybody in NBA is stoned.
Right. Are you kidding me?
They cut this dude because he had a little reaction to it.
Right. Are you kidding me? Too much money. Too much money.
But everybody on a plane, you know, everybody on a plane in Stone, they're probably like, chill the fuck out, man. It's going to be all right.
Hey, it'll be all right.
Hey. Stop freaking the fuck out. Oh, shit. So what they got? They got NFL, Web. They got, they're saying they're having an open tryout for Kaepernick. You think anybody's showing up to this?
I was very skeptical. Obviously, it's just a bunch of bullshit, which I still don't understand. I mean, I get the whole thing. He didn't stand up and all that, but there's some shabby ass quarterbacks out there. I didn't think anybody would show up, but then I saw something on the Cowboys website that they're going to be there.
Right.
So I don't know what that means. One way, maybe that's just Jerry piling on or filing in on that propaganda or that machine. Right.
This might be like a publicity stunt kind of thing.
Right. So I don't know. It's been, what, 3 years since he's played?
Yeah, and probably about 5 years since he's played successfully.
I don't know. What do you think? I doubt if anyone would show up.
I think it's a publicity stunt. As a business owner, I just don't see guys. If this was Joe Montana and he had, you know, a checkered past, whether, you know, publicity wise, dudes might be all over it. But no owner is going to go out on a limb for a backup quarterback at this point. No matter what, you know, and we're not going to get political about whatever, but in the society, right, it's like a 50-50 split right now, even give or take 5 or 10 points either way. But why would you piss off 50% of your fan base off the bat? You know what I mean? Whether or not it's 47% or 45%, whatever. Why would you know that many people are going to be pissed off about it because of the national anthem stuff? You know, whether you're for that or against that or whatever, it doesn't matter. The owners aren't going to go out on a limb unless it's somebody that's going to come in and really win some games. Like when Michael Vick went out with that dog shit, nobody gave a shit when he came back. They're like, yeah, we'll give him a shot. But now Kaepernick's 5 years down the road, man. It's not worth it for a backup quarterback to go through that PR problem.
Yep, not worth the headache.
Strictly business, man. It's strictly business. So, and then they got some rumors about Cam Newton flying around. Do you know where he might be going, or any idea where he might land?
I saw a couple things. I saw Chicago.
They could use him.
Yeah, but I don't know what they would have. How could they have any draft capital? What would they give? They mortgage their future for what's his name, Khalil Mack, which is now shooting him in the foot because they had all their, you know, they were all in on Trubisky. Now you can't trade for $100 million quarterback. And the other one I thought I saw was Tennessee, which was interesting. I don't know. Obviously, you know, you're going to play fantasy sports, whatever. No repercussions. He'd fit, I think, well on both those teams. They have a lot of other elements aside from the starting quarterback. But they would make sense. But I mean, are we sure that even Carolina's given up on him? First of all, and then second of all, I mean, I guess let me backtrack. They would if it was, you know, what did the Dolphins get for Tunsil or whatever his name is? Two number ones, and what did I don't know what you're gonna get. What did Ramsey go for?
Well, how much longer is he under contract? Do you have any idea?
I think it's 1 year.
Right. So he's at the end. So.
Yep. $19 million, I think, which is a bargain.
Yeah, if he plays, but this kid's been playing pretty good behind him, but they're not.
This is a former, you know, he's been
MVP candidate every year he's played, pretty much.
Well, he won one, right? And then he's been in the Super Bowl, and he couldn't probably blame the loss on the coach more than him. So I don't know. I'm not the biggest Cam Newton fan, but obviously his results were, you know, we just discussed them, but that's a big. Swallow. You got to swallow hard to get a trade.
All right, Webb. Well, I've been talking a lot about my boy Devin Michael Snow at Hold the Mayo. He's the man. He's got a nice little network going on. He's got my boy Corey Riley, does his fantasy football and does his MMA and World Wrestling Federation and everything like that. WWE, I guess it is nowadays. I'm old school.
We can still call it WWE. That's right.
He's
also got Corey Fleetwood, does his hockey. He's got his benders on there. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's got a website. He's got a blog. He's got a podcast. He's got YouTube. Devin, welcome to the show, buddy.
Yo, what's up, man? How y'all doing, brother?
We're doing great, man.
What's happening, dude?
Yeah, what's happening, brother? How you doing, man?
All right, man. Trying to stay warm up in Jersey, bro. It's cold, man.
Up in Jersey, bro. Jersey, huh?
Bringing that East Coast.
How's Jersey doing, man?
It's doing all right. It's cold, like I said, but we're doing all right.
Yeah, it's cold as Klondike's down here, man. 43 degrees, bro. Yeah.
Talk to me about 22. Then we'll start talking.
Yeah. I think I'll pass, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think I'll pass. But yeah, man, Steve, I appreciate it. You know, we're doing a bunch of things at HTM Sports. You know, it all started off the back porch. I mean, it started with just doing some videos on the back porch in Mid-City, and we kind of evolved it into something that we saw is just like a gaping hole down here in New Orleans, especially, and that's unfiltered sports entertainment, you know, authentic sports entertainment. And we'll get more into that, but you know, it's something that we're really passionate about, man. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, but you guys do a great job, Devin, and I know, you know, you don't hold anything back when it comes to being a Saints fan and LSU. Sometimes me and Webb here, we're trying to do the right thing book wise and everything like that. So you got to kind of use your head a little more than your heart sometimes. But you lay it on the line, and I know you're all out LSU, all out Saints, and we've been talking a lot today about the roller coaster ride it was for Louisiana, New Orleans sports fans this weekend. Why don't you tell us a little bit something about that?
I mean, let's just start with Saturday, okay? Let's start with Saturday. Obviously, the hype leading up into the LSU-Bama game in Bama, okay? 2:30 game. You know, you got all this working against LSU. You got Saban's mom working against LSU. You got the $3 trillion light show working against LSU, right? Yeah. Just monumental after monumental shit going in front of LSU, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, this was one of those Saturdays when we played Bama that the whole fan base was just confident. There was no nerves. It was LSU's going to beat the piss out of Bama, and we're going to get the hell out of that. And that's really – I mean, that's what happened. I know the game – what it finished, a 6-point, 7-point game in the end. It was not that close.
It didn't. Even from the outside looking in, man, it wasn't – you guys were in control, no doubt.
Yeah, man, it just wasn't close. So, I mean, I think what had to be done on that Saturday night happened. Or that Saturday evening, for say. And I think that was a prime example of just Coach O taking years and years of adjustments and displaying them in Alabama on Saban's field, right? I mean, it's just that it doesn't get better than that. You can't ask for a better program, a football program, than what LSU is right now currently on this day.
Right, it's pretty unbelievable. I think Coach O is just such a perfect fit at LSU. You know, this guy bleeds purple and gold. He's from the Bayou. People make fun of the way he talks, everything else. I kind of made fun of him. Yep, I kind of made fun of him a little bit when he got to LSU, and I think LSU got him on the cheap a little bit because he loves LSU so much. He was willing to come in and prove his worth, man. I think they need to pay this guy. This guy, I don't think he'd be as successful at other places, but man, it's just been such a perfect fit. And now with the new offense they got running, man, this team could be good for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know if y'all recall, but you know, that moment, what was it, a couple of years ago when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do at the end of that season after Coach O had took over as interim. You know, you had some guys really saying some drastic, outrageous statements about this man, you know, stating that this was going to be a huge mistake by LSU. And man, let me just say, all that came to full scenery on Saturday night. I mean, if you didn't feel it in your chest, I don't know where your feelings go in your body, right? Everybody's got different spots, but I felt it everywhere. I mean, that was just a good feeling to see Coach O prevail. And then also see what we've seen all year long. You got an offense, Joe Brady, golly, right? You got an offense that is just absolutely transformed. I don't recall an LSU offense looking like this in the last 15 seasons. That's how ridiculous this is, right? So, I mean, everything is progressing. The only thing you could really say, hey, maybe LSU's defense doesn't always live up to the moment, especially in the trenches. But they, I mean, look, I really can't take anything from them on that Saturday night game. I really can't. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did exactly what I thought he was going to do. It's not all about the stardom. Guys, it's not all about the prototype, Leonard Fournette, guys like that. No, man, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's about the underdog. That's the son of a guns that are going to beat Alabama, and that's what showed up Saturday night.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, going back to Coach O a little bit, I thought it was amazing. I heard some of his speeches after the game and what he was saying to the players after the game. And, man, he's really trying to build something here. Like, man, this isn't going to be a one-time deal. Like, we won here. We won in Alabama. He was saying, man, this is our house now. This is our house now. Even to the point of, at the end, he's like, Alabama, who? Fuck Alabama. He's like, he didn't really want that one to come out in the press and everything, but some of his post-game locker room speech, he was like, fuck Alabama, we're going to be beating their ass all the time and stuff like that. So I just thought it was pretty cool. You always see that, you know, they're happy about the game today, but then he's really trying to build it for the future where this is just the norm now.
Yeah, yeah. And look, Steve, I appreciate you welcoming me in with the cursing, man, because I just didn't fucking know where to go with that.
Nah, we're off. This is definitely R-rated, brother. No fucking worries.
Fuck, man. Anyway, but yeah, man. And I think T-Bob said it best up there at ESPN Baton Rouge on OTB. Let the healing begin, baby. Let the healing begin. Okay, this is something that we've been waiting for forever, right? 8 straight games, and just like you said, man, Coach O. I mean, from the very beginning of the week to the very end, after the game, everything. Dude, that's what we want in Louisiana, right? That's what we want to see. That's the emotions we want to see. That's what it's all about, man. You know, I'm looking at a picture right now of Coach O and Joe Burrow hugging each other, crying. Golly, it's that important to us, right?
All right, man. So it's Saturday night, man. It's euphoria. It's the greatest thing ever. It's the best thing to ever happen to the city, best thing to ever happen to the state. Then we wake up Sunday morning. What happened there?
Yeah. All right, so we wake up on the Lord's Day. Obviously, it's just, you know, for me, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I woke up Sunday morning. It was a 12 o'clock game. You know, you're always rushing. Even when you live in New Orleans, you're rushing because, I mean, time is of the essence, right? You want to get out there, get hammered, and do your thing, right? Well, I was rushing. I didn't feel necessarily as glorified as I usually feel on Sunday mornings. I will say that. But, of course, you know, anytime Matt Ryan's in a situation, you're banking on a win, right? You're banking on a win. There's got to be a win.
I was banking on that shit.
I had
my suicide on that, man. They knocked me out.
Yeah, man.
Saints committed suicide on Webb this week.
Yeah, they did.
And then when you really look at it, man, what's kind of scary about it, I guess, if you're going to pick one scary thing about it, I mean, the Saints got smacked, bro. I mean, they really did. They got smacked. Go ahead.
I just said out physical. They got beat in the trenches.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, out-physicaled, out-coached. I mean, this is...
Right. That out-coach was the most glaring thing to me. I mean, they weren't... From the kick to the, you know, the kick to the end, they weren't even ever in the game.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like generic because, you know, you heard a lot of fucking people when you went to work the next day saying, oh, well, it was the engagement and all this shit. And look, right, man, we know that Sean Payton's a better professional than that, right? They just... Something... There was something underlying, not saying it was anything like that, but it could have been a game plan, whatever the case may be. That was just a fucking complete mess, right?
It was awful. I think we were all a bit hungover from the Saturday game. It looked like the Saints were the same way. They shouldn't have been the same way. Even Webb was like, man, I need you to get in that dome today and whoop some ass today. I got him in my suicide pool. I was like, man, I'm not even going today. I missed out. I gave up my tickets. I was going to spend some time with my granddaughter and watch the game with her. But I was like, the Saints don't even need me today. They don't even need me today. Well, guess what? Shit. That was a mistake.
Hey, man, that shit matters, man. They really does.
No doubt.
It was my first Falcons game with my granddaughter. I might not be able to watch a game with her again soon. I told her I'd give her another shot, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. But yeah. I think overall, man, when you look at the game, how many times did the Saints run the ball? Nine fucking times. Yeah. That's. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. I haven't looked it up. Nothing, right? But I'd be willing to like bank on it that the Saints, anytime they've rushed the ball under 10 times, have lost every game.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be facts, right? And then Drew Brees, I mean, he, you know, I just the yardage was there, right? You know, he was doing Drew Brees like things here and there, but not so much, right? And then one major thing that I noticed about that game, man, is Drew was hanging on to the fucking ball, bro.
Yeah, well, I guess it was a combination of guys not getting open and just man, that Atlanta D just beat the shit out of the offensive line of the Saints too.
Yeah, I think Atlanta had, what, 7 sacks on the whole entire year, and they wound up having 6 in that game. The Pete injury, obviously, I'm sure y'all heard about that today. That's
right, he's
going to
be out
deal.
For an extended amount of time now.
Yeah, and that's going to be a huge blow. And for anybody that hates on Andres Pete, all right, well, get your hate ready because you're going to feel it the next 6 weeks. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, Clapp got treated like a damn doormat in that game the other day. That's absolutely. LSU guy.
Absolutely, yeah. I just and honestly, I was shocked about that too because usually Clapp actually –
plays pretty decent. I don't know. Maybe it was something that the Atlanta Falcons drank in the morning. I don't know. Yeah, maybe
well, they nice had a bye week, too. I think the Saints spent 2 weeks of their bye week finally not listening to how good they were, and that Atlanta did the exact opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They were pretty much probably listening to how shitty they were for two weeks, right? And they were like, all right, enough's enough. Let's go to New Orleans, spank that ass, and get the hell out of there. And look, man, I'll be honest. That's what happened. You know, that's what happened. So I'm looking for the Saints to bounce back. In our power spankings that we did this week, you know, we got the Saints at 5. And, I mean, we got Seattle ahead of them. I'll explain that in a second. We got Baltimore ahead of them. We got the Pats and the San Francisco 49ers. But when you get smacked by the Falcons, especially the way that they did, even if you beat the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, even if you beat the Seattle Seahawks, I got to put Seattle ahead of them just for the plain reason because Russell Wilson – is on a whole nother level right now.
That game Monday night was unbelievable.
Oh man. I mean it don't get better than that, bro.
Nah, he's on another planet.
He's on another planet. I don't know what the hell Jimmy Garoppolo was doing at the end of that game. That was a try.
But how Shanahan didn't learn, you hand the ball off, the game's over, man. That's another thing.
I'm sure he didn't fucking sleep well, man. Yeah. I'm sure he didn't sleep well. But, yeah, man, I'm looking for the Saints to bounce back. They got a huge opportunity. They'll be missing Lattimore, obviously, and Pete. But, you know, one thing I will say about that secondary, first of all, the safeties have played pretty fucking good all year. And then also I'll say that Eli Apple, he's better than what many people are saying for whatever reason, right? He's just better than that. And I think P.J. Williams has also played pretty decent. For all the speculation you hear, you know, I think both of those guys have played pretty well. And then my favorite component that's going to really show out these next few weeks while Lattimore's gone is Gardner Johnson.
The rookie from Florida. He's been playing really good.
Yeah, he's a savage, man. So, I mean, I'm thinking the Saints are going to be all right. They'll bounce back. I think they'll bounce back big, too. I think they'll blow these guys out.
All right. Not easy this week. Without Lattimore, they got some pretty good weapons on the outside in Tampa. Might be a tougher game than we think.
Yeah, I just also think that Tampa's going through, you know, something similar with their secondary. They just released Vernon Hargreaves today. And, I mean, I don't know. When's the last time you really saw Tampa with a good secondary?
Yeah, we need Jameis to be Jameis and give up the ball 3-4
right,
times.
That's right, that's right.
And that's a 50-50 shot every morning
no
you wake
doubt.
Up. Jameis Winston wakes up as Jameis Winston every morning. Just remember
you're
that.
You're going to get one, no doubt. So.
But yeah, man, what y'all thinking as far as, you know, this week?
I don't know. As far as the Saints go, I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm not laying that 5.5-6 points. I'm not going to take Tampa, but I think this is one you stay away from. I want to see. I need to see if that Saints game was a blip on the screen or something that's going to lead or some glaring problems came and showed their face that might be something other teams can build on. I'm waiting. I'm going to wait and see.
Steve, let's play devil's advocate real quick. Why would it be a blip? If you're saying it would be, let's just say we did say that, right? It was a blip. Let's say it's not. Why would it be a blip, right? What would make it to where the Saints would just come out this next week and just absolutely blow these Bucks out? Is it just that one deal where the Saints have 1-2 games a year to where they just don't show up?
I think it could be a case of they just didn't show up in any way. Whether it be Sean Payton getting engaged on Friday night of the before the game, after you got a whole bye week, you got 2 weeks. He could have done it the week before, even. I don't
right.
know, but that kind of shit. If you're a pro and you're having kids, do that shit in the off season. You know, yes, find out when 9 months from June is, and have yourself a fucking baby now. Don't have a baby in those seas.
I wouldn't be able to finish a text to a female if I was in Sean Payton's shoes right now. That's all I can tell you, man. Especially on a Saturday night, dude.
I just think they didn't show up, and that would be the blip. Now the flip side of the coin is if it's not a blip, let's say that offensive line just is not as good as we think they are. The lack of wide receiver depth and playmakers is bigger than we think it is. Let's say maybe Drew Brees is a little shakier than we thought he was. He came out that first game after the injury and threw it all over the field, but you know he hasn't been going down the field much lately. And maybe you know just I'm saying there are some signs. We'll see how it plays out, but it may not be just a blip.
So two things I'd mention. One thing about the Brees thing and why I'm going to give him a mulligan on this game is just because that Houston game, that first game of the year, he was fucking unconscious, right? And it just looked like he hadn't skipped a beat. But I'll give him the mulligan on that one. I will say the point that you made about the receiving core, I think that's the one that stands out, bro. Because look, what happened last year, right? What happened last year? I said it before the season that this would be something that the Saints surely would make sure it wouldn't happen again. But the offense became, I don't know if I want to say one dimensional, because that's not quite the term. But when you throw in to Mike Thomas and he's getting 13 to 15 plus fucking catches a game, right? And then the other guys, the closest receiver last year, I think in receptions was Traquan with 35 or something like that, right? I mean, dude, that's pretty significant. And it's happening again this year. So I'm worried that the Saints are going to get into that same fucking situation where Mike Thomas is your only go-to guy. You could dish it out to Kamara. And that's what you got. When you get to the playoffs, that shit gets eaten up.
Right. And it doesn't help your run game any when they know you're doing short dump-off passes all day. Everybody can start cheating up. Cheat up, cheat up, cheat up. And then you don't really have that running game going to help you out either.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with that completely. I think that's the two things that stick out to me, man.
Well, that offensive line, you got to be worried about that, obviously, and what you're saying. I mean, Thomas the only one getting the ball. There's been really no tight end.
That's what I want to see. I want to see what Nick Easton can do. I know he played like shit, right, in the preseason, but I still want to see. Let me just see that. Pair him up with Warford, and let's see what we got going on right there. You know, the center that we got from Texas A&M, that kid,
rookie.
I mean, he's a mammoth.
He's good.
I mean,
this is a week. You'll see. This is a telling week. I agree with Smith. I wouldn't jump on the Saints, but they should win. I think they will win, but I wouldn't jump. This will be a telling week, especially see how they deal with the injuries, both in the secondary and the offensive line.
Right.
And they do need, you know, you guys are spot on. They need to figure something else out, to dump off to Kamara or throw the ball, you know, literally 15 times to Michael Thomas. Someone else has to do something. The tight end position's been non-existent for them, it seems like, for a long time. So someone else has to step up.
Exactly. And back to that tight end real quick. I mean, you saw Jared Cook get a few receptions on Sunday. But like you said, I mean, I think we just need to get a little more diverse with who we throw in the football to. And I think that's something that they're going to focus on. You know, and another thing about that Atlanta game, they were fucking gashing us in the run game. And that's bizarre, right? Mm-hmm. That's bizarre. You saw the runs. I mean, it was just too much space. And so I don't know what quite happened there. You know, it's almost like I got to go back and watch the fucking game again.
Yeah, I think it was just, it just could be a case of they didn't show up. And it happens. It happens sometimes.
Right.
In the NFL, you can't let that happen too many times because you can get beat any week. The difference between a good team and a bad team in the NFL is like nothing.
Right,
exactly. I mean, we're seeing it, man. Y'all are the wager makers. I mean, y'all know how the NFL's been, man. It's a
Hell yeah.
It's a fucking ride. You feel great on Saturday. You feel like Superman. And then the next day, you feel like fucking Pee Wee Herman.
Right, yep, exactly. Exactly.
It's true. All right, Dev. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Why don't you tell everybody? I know you got all kinds of websites and Instagrams and YouTubes. Tell everybody where you can find all your stuff at.
Yeah, I'm wearing about 175 fucking hats right now. you can find us mainly at www.htmsports.com. And then everything as far as social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, we're HTM Sports, just how it sounds. And then the only difference, which I'm going to get this handled shortly, is on Facebook, we're at HTM NOLA. So HTM NOLA. And that's where you can find us, man. We're constant. We're consistent. We're a bunch of jackasses, man. Just to really lay it on the plate real quick. We're just unfiltered sports entertainment. Like I said, we purely enjoy every single piece of content that we put out there. And it's just been a huge success, man.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Everybody check out Devin at Hold the Mayo, man. These guys do a great job.
Appreciate it, Steve. Y'all take care, man. And let's do this again, man.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. Love it, bro. Thanks.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
All right, Webb, that was Devin. Hold the Mayo. Those guys are really good, man.
Hold the Mayo, baby.
That's right. HTM. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. That's what he says all the time. Hold it. Hold it. Those guys are good. He does a good job. So, talking about baseball, we're talking about cheating a little bit, man. A lot of shit came up about the Houston Astros this week. What do you think about that?
I'm all for a little gamesmanship. You know, if you're standing on second base and you want to, you know, give your boy a high sign, you know, or tell him, you know, the catcher's leaning in or leaning out, whatever you think, you know, you see a number one down there or number two. I'm all for that. But two teams, I think, was the Astros in the ALCS, right? The championship series against the Yankees. And then also the White Sox came out. Some of the White Sox, same thing. So what, they had a camera or a computer in center field and they were, you know, calling, whatever, doing radio, emailing to someone behind in the clubhouse right behind the dugout, and they were hitting the bat, right? The dugout twice, banging the bat twice. It was a curveball. Once it was a fastball or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're definitely using video and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like high tech stealing the signs and shit. Like I don't mind stealing some signs from the dugout and shit like that. But I think when you're going to the TV camera for it, that's a little over the top.
Right. When you're using technology, you're sending guys out. You're utilizing your organizational people to go out there and espionage. Corporate espionage or league espionage, that certainly crosses the line. There's going to have to be some type of repercussion. I think at this point, there's really any doubt. Mike Fiers, the court was the pitcher who was on the team. He's on, I think, maybe on the A's now.
Yeah, he sold them out real quick.
Yeah, and then there's a couple other guys that jumped out on it, too. And then same thing happened with the White Sox. So it's disturbing. I mean, I don't know. On both sides, even if you're an Astros fan, you're bummed. If you hate the Astros fan, you don't feel good. If you're a Yankee fan, you're bummed because it was against you. And then, what do you go back? Do you go back and say, now the Yankees won the championship series and the Dodgers are the world champions now? No, you can't do that. So it just sucks all around. But,
I think it's going too far when you're using that kind of technology to steal signs. That's going against the nature of the game,
Absolutely, that's again right. Then there's no need for it. I can't agree more. Like I said, if you're standing on second base and you see you want to give somebody a wink or something, that's a curveball coming. You kind of think you figure out what the cadence is. That's different than sending out some computer nerd out in center field to start figuring shit out. So I agree totally.
So. All right, well, let's start talking about our picks from last week.
Well, man. Cy Young came out today.
Yeah, Verlander.
Verlander got his second 8 years. He got one, two. That's his second. And DeGrom. How many times is I don't know how many what the Mets record was, but DeGrom won his second. I don't think there's ever been a Met to win two Cy Youngs.
Two Cy Youngs, and their team stinks all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, they're probably worse. They were worse last time than they were this time, but that's crazy. Good for him.
And it's funny when Verlander wins, but then he really pitched poor in the postseason,
I saw something, right? He was 1-6 or 0-6 in World Series. First of all, it's jarring that he's 0-6. Second of all, how many World Series starts are you going to get, dude? I mean, God damn.
Might have to put Verlander, the Cy Younger, in a pen for the next time.
So you're going to start 8 World Series games? Jeez, that's not a bad career in and of itself.
Has there been more talk up there about Schiano going to Rutgers? Or
yes, the rumor is he's getting whatever he wanted. That's the latest. Thank you for bringing that up. He's getting whatever he wants. Right, whatever. Here's a checkbook. Here's a pen.
Right.
Sign it. And then, or write it. I'll sign it. Come to work tomorrow. 52.5, Smith. 52.5. How do you? What?
And I don't think. I think I'm leaning. I'm leaning Buckeyes. I'm leaning Buckeyes.
How can let's see how many touchdowns why not just make it 70? What is this? Seriously, just they're not going to score a point. That's what you're saying.
Like, imagine the guys in a room, the first ones that make up the line are like,
right, like,
do we 53 or 52? we'll go 52 and a half.
Like the dude comes into the boss like real passionate. Like, no, man, it's got to be 53.5, 52 and
like
a half.
Like they might score three.
It has to be 53.
Right. They might score three. If Rutgers scores 10, they're not going to win. Like Ohio State is going to win. Even if Rutgers scores 17, I still like the 50. Yeah. I still lay the 53.
No, there's no way.
Ohio State's going to score 70, right? Ohio State's going to score 70.
It's just crazy. Like, what do you do as a coach? Like, you walk out there, whatever day it was. Like, come on, guys.
What about, the Rutgers
coach?
Let's
go to work. Yeah, right.
We got this one. Come on, guys. I think we're getting ready to turn a corner here.
We're going to win this one. Yeah. We're going to win this one.
I'm going to the Pelicans game tomorrow night. They play the Clippers.
Did they win a game yet?
They won two. They won, of course, the one we bet against them last week. They won. Yeah. But we knew when we saw the line, the Pelicans were favored in the game last week against, I think it was the Hornets, if I'm not mistaken. We're like, what the hell is with this? So we take the other team, and of course, that's the game the Pelicans won.
Yeah, of course. We knew that. We got to be – that was not good.
So they play the Clippers tomorrow night, so they got the load management going on.
He's not playing tonight, right? So he should probably play tomorrow.
Right, and I think Paul George might be his first game start tomorrow, too. Today, so tomorrow. Yep. Pelicans might be in trouble. Speaking of load management, Webb, we got – I noticed, we talked a lot about it in the NBA, but the coach of the Rams talked a lot going in about Todd Gurley. And you know how many touches. And I got him on my fantasy team, right? And this dude touched the ball like 12 times last week in a loss. Like, and they're monitoring his touches. Like, dude, and even said, well, we're going to monitor it so that, like, late in the season when the games are important and stuff, you can load them up and stuff. Bro, you're 5-4.
Right. It's getting late real quick.
Listen, bro, it's time. Give the fucking man the ball. Unless he's just beat up and then take him out anyway.
That's what they're, I mean, that's what did he get? He had 75 yards or something list. I think that's it.
But I think he only had 12 carries, you know?
Yeah, that's the maximum I think you're going to get out of him. He just doesn't have it. It's an arthritic knee. It's not getting better.
So use the motherfucker.
Well, I mean, it doesn't function.
He makes more money than anybody, or at least he did up a year or two ago. Give him the ball until his knee falls off.
I think he still might. I don't know if Zeke makes more, but he's definitely... He was until...
Yeah, right. But when he signed it, he was the man.
Oh, by far.
Right.
By far, yeah.
All right, well, let's get into some picks, right? So we're doing all right, right? We're number 7 right now in college hoops. We're number 3 in NBA. Last week in the NFL, we went 5-3. And in college, we went 9-5. We start out in NFL. We got the Raiders. Knock on wood if you're with me. If you listen to the... what's that show? Hard Knocks. You know what I'm talking about, Webb. That's Gruden. Knock on wood if you're with me. I like the Raiders. They're going to 5-4. Eric Campbell was upset the other day that we didn't mention him as a Raider fan. And we mentioned Keith Woods. He's like, hey, man, I'm a Raider fan too. So I'm like, all right. I'll mention this week.
I don't even know if Keith Woods is going to get credit for that anyway. He's always giving me shit about the Giants. So
so we went 9-5 in college. We started out actually a good Thursday and Friday last week. We were whooping ass with the college football. And so we're actually number 3 now in the NBA at sportswatchmonitor.com, number 7. And also for the last 30 days on Monday when I looked, we were in the top 5 for the last 30 days at plus 10,250. 10,250. So just in case anybody doesn't know what this is going on, right? So we put every play in at $1,000 units. 1,000 units, right? So over the last 30 days on Monday, we were up 10,250 units. So that means if you're a $1,000 player, which, I mean, nobody probably – well, there might be some listeners out there, $10,000 player. You're up $10,250 in the last 30 days. If you're a $100 player, you're up over $1,000. Yep. If you're a $10 player, you won $100 in 30 days.
There you go.
So, man, stick with it. If you left us early – you might have left us too soon. Right. You got to stick with us, man. That's all I'm saying. We let you know when we sucked. We came here every week. The first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, we're like, man, we sucked this week. Oh, we sucked again. We got to get it going. But we were getting it going, man. We've been winning every week now lately. So
NBA, NHL, and the MLB playoffs, we were right there too.
Yep. MLB playoffs. I think we ended up 2nd for the MLB playoffs. So we're rolling. We're rolling. We're getting our feet under us. I mean, a lot of in the early on, we were just learning how to do a podcast and shit. I think we had a hard time.
With the picks and shit.
So we also owe Colin and Brad Bohannon are going. Colin Long and Brad Bohannon are going to Vegas this week. And he says he blames me for the Saints pick last week and knocked him out of the suicide pick. So we got to get some wins this week in the books. So you want to start with NFL? Well, we'll start with college because we got a bunch of college going on right now. We went 1-1 last night. We took Akron. That was a bad pick. That was my fault. We were getting 17. They got whooped. And we took
the 0-9 Akron Zips that we went with.
Yeah, that was no good. And then we took, I think, Western Michigan last night. So we went 1-1.
Yeah, overtime, we got that one. Yeah.
Went 1-1. Tonight we got Bowling Green and Toledo. Those teams are both battling out right now. We got a bunch of games. I like a couple games tomorrow night in college. We got Buffalo is -6 at Kent State, and your Tar Heels are +4.5 at Pitt. You like any of those? I like Buffalo and North Carolina, to be honest.
I got Carolina written down here, +4. We got 4 and 15.5 in that game. The other one, I don't know. Buffalo, I'm surprised to see them minus. Yeah, I would go in that game. I would go with Buffalo, actually, -6. But I do like Carolina, +4.
Yeah, okay. I like them. Buffalo's been pretty good this year. They played some serious teams and have played well. And then when they play teams on their level, work level, their competition, they've been doing pretty well. So, go on to Friday. We got one of our Louisiana teams. Right, you know, we love them. You got the Bulldogs playing Friday night, the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. I like them, +3.5 on Marshall. And you got any thoughts about the Fresno and San Diego State Friday night?
I don't. I do like La Tech plus the four in that game. I like the Bulldogs. I think Fresno State's a better team, just minus the one, just to get over the W. It'll be close. It's a tough one. You know, these games are tougher just because we're, you know, small pond and not much else going on. I do like the Tar Heels. That's probably the game I like better, best out of the four there. But I like La Tech and then Fresno State just to get, you know, up and down. It'll be a gut wrencher, but they should win that game.
Okay, sounds good. We'll go with those four at night. Buffalo, North Carolina, Louisiana Tech, and Fresno. Going into Saturday, you got any things popping off the board at you?
I got two games circled. That's really it, which is funny. The first one is Penn State on the road against Indiana. 14.5, I think they'll come out angry. They'll put a hurting on Indiana. May go over, too. But 54.5 is the total. I like Penn State minus 14.5. And the other game I like is Alabama minus 17.5. Two road, you know, pretty decent sized favorites in conference. But I think they're both have something to prove. Alabama still wants to stay in a race. Penn State is, you know, more or less done, but they're that second level type team. They're much better than Indiana. I think those two are my favorite picks that I've seen on there.
All right. I definitely like Penn State. Alabama, there's a little bit of question, I think, about Tua, whether or not he's going to play or not. I think they might, because of what happened this past week, they probably can win a couple games without him, even though I think they'd probably be trying to get some style points.
Right, that's what
going.
I'm saying. And they're,
but, I think Tua may or may not play in this game coming up, but the shot.
I got a couple of
things. I got a whole list of games.
Go ahead. Let me see if I can jump in with you.
All right. We've been on Texas a few times and got burnt. This week, they're actually getting 7 points at Iowa State. I was thinking about sticking with Texas again. We got burnt on them last week, but they were laying points. I kind of like them.
Fuck
Texas. All right. Yeah. Crossing them out. I'm crossing them out right now. All right. We'll go on to the next one. Last week, I took Clemson, and they were minus 35, but they were against NC State. I thought that was an easy cover. Wake Forest is no NC State.
No.
I think they will at least play like another football team that they're playing against them. I thought NC State moved the ball some other than a bunch of turnovers they had. I kind of like Wake Forest getting 34.5 from Clemson in this.
Yeah, that's fine with me. But I like Wake Forest, actually. They've been pretty good to us this year. I don't know why that line. What did we lay last week? Was it 34 last week?
Yeah, too? 32, 33, 34, somewhere in there.
Well, that gives me I don't understand. Gives me some pause of why this is 34.5.
Well, that game was in NC State.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
For one thing. Fair enough.
All right, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with Wake Forest.
What do you think about this Ohio State game? Can Rutgers score at all? Would you agree Maryland is better than Rutgers?
Yeah, sure. No okay. doubt.
It was 42-0 at halftime in that game last week.
I just remember back in the day, like we had to call on a payphone. Like I can measure myself going, yeah, give me Ohio State minus 52.
All right, we can wait and see.
I'm just saying it's funny.
Well, I'm just putting
it out. Seriously,
I kind of like
Rutgers score 10 points. No,
even if they score, like I said, they can score 17, and I still feel like Ohio State might get to 70 against this team.
Score 10 touchdowns. That's crazy. So pathetic.
So that's your boys. That's your boys. Yeah, the Scarlet Knights.
Rutgers rah. All right, let's go. We'll circle back to. Let's go back. Let's pin up on a dog or something.
Okay. I like Virginia Tech. They're minus minus 5.5 at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, what about your Minnesota guys? They're actually still being disrespected here, getting plus 3 against Iowa.
I like Iowa. I mean, they've been decent to us this week, but we got it. Minnesota has so much stock and so much equity in us, and. You know, keep rowing that boat, man. I'm on them. I'm down. I'll take those points. I'll ride them. Ride or die with Minnesota at this point.
Okay, sounds good. We'll go with Minnesota. They've been good to us. I like Notre Dame minus 7 against Navy. I know Navy's good, and we're good with Navy. And Navy's the kind of team, if Notre Dame's laying 12 or 13 in this game, maybe they do something. But I just think a touchdown is not enough.
I agree with you just because I think Notre Dame is not good, but this is a down. This is an atypical bad year for Navy. I guess that's probably why the line is 7, like you said. I'll take Notre Dame. That's fine. I'm leery of that one though, but I'll take that. It's at home.
Yeah, I like that. What about Oklahoma minus 10 to Baylor?
Another one that's got.
Is this
me,
the end of Baylor's? Is this the end of Baylor's run right here?
I would guess it is. I just don't know that 10 points. Are they going to cover the 10 or not? You know, this is one that comes out where but don't forget about Oklahoma. So I would stay away from this one if.
Okay.
You know, there's other stuff we can do at that time. If need be, we can go back to it. I think. What time is that game? At 7:30 at night. Oh, maybe we might need to jump on that one. Yeah.
All right. A game in the SEC. There's a big game in the SEC this week. Georgia obviously held on to the number four spot.
Yep.
They go on the road to what I think is a very good Auburn team.
Awesome. I like this is a great game.
I like Auburn in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, this is another one. I would just, you know, it's, this is a great spectator game. I would take. Yeah, I would go with the Tigers there for sure. Yeah, +2.5. I'm buying it to 3. I'll take a field goal at home. That's going to be smash mouth. Great old school. Old school SEC games, some Herschel Walker against Bo Jackson type shit. That is great. Yeah. Auburn's great. I'm down with that.
I'll go with the home team on that one.
And plus, I can figure out, you know what? What happens? It's a funny scenario. What happens if Auburn goes here and runs the table?
Well, I think Auburn has two losses. That's the only problem.
I would say they beat Georgia, then they beat Alabama in the championship. Or, you know, the.
Yeah, I still whatever. Don't think, I don't think yeah. two losses get you in the big dance.
Yeah. Okay.
There's too many. Teams.
I would agree. I'd agree, but.
There's too many. You know, I think. You know, one loss Alabama team certainly can get in there. I don't think two losses gets you in. Even in the SEC. There's too many teams going to end up with one loss
right.
to jump them all.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. At that point, it would be in Oregon or even Minnesota could sneak right. in at that point.
Right. So, all right. So right now we got the four on the weeknights.
Yeah.
And then we got Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Auburn, Virginia Tech, Minnesota, Alabama, and Penn State.
Yep. That's good. No, I mean, looking. The other one I had was Memphis. I'm just pissed off at faggot ass Houston.
I kind of looked at Memphis.
Yeah, I like Memphis -10. They're good. They can score. They're a little bit up and down, but I don't know what Houston's got going on, to be honest with you. So I wouldn't mind taking Memphis. And then we got a couple games just to mention: Michigan and Michigan State. I don't know what to do. I mean. Michigan's going to win the game, no doubt. They're going to beat them by 14, I would guess, probably. And then the other one is your Missouri's at home against Florida.
Yeah, man, Missouri is so up and down. Like, sometimes they can really come to play, and then sometimes they get their ass handed to them.
Yes, I mean, again,
and they make dumb shit. I think this year Florida might just be too much for them to handle.
Well, speaking of Florida, what's going on with the wife making out with all the players?
Yeah, did you see that? So Mullins, what's his name? Mullins, the coach?
Yeah, Mullins.
Dan Mullins.
Yeah. Dan Mullins, yeah.
There's a video out, like, the mother, or the wife of Mullins, right. She's, like, real into, like, hugging and kissing all the players
every
and shit.
Every player, every time.
Every player off the bus, every player on the bus, in between, everything.
Like, just kind of like, looks him in the face.
Yeah, like, really, like, hugs him and shit. Yeah, like, these are grown-ass men. You know right. what I mean? This ain't little kid peewee right. mom saying, shit.
Right. You ain't the Pop Warner mom.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. When you watch the video, if you guys get a chance to, it's out on there on the internet. Right. It's a little creepy. What happens if, let's say there's a woman coach of a girl's basketball team, right? And her husband is waiting off the bus every time on and off. And he's kissing the chicks.
Right. Yeah.
How would that go over? Nope. It's just a little freaky. When you see the video, there's a thin line between – and one of the Florida moms came out player moms came out and really, like, backed her up and said, look, she's our mom on the road. I don't get to see my kids all the time. I think it's great and all this stuff. But when you watch the video, it's a little touchy-feely for me. It's a little
– face in her eyes.
Yeah, like weird. If I was Mullins even, I'd be like, hey, you got to just chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little weird. If you get a chance, check it out.
And then we'd be remiss without mentioning LSU. What do you think they're going to cover? 21 and Ole Miss.
I wouldn't take against them. I think the only issue would be the letdown situation. But I don't see that happening with this team. But man, they're coming off a as big a game as they've had in 10 years, they're coming off of this week. If there was ever going to be, and you know, to not cover 21, you don't need a tremendous letdown. You just need to come out sluggish a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Win that game by 17. You're never really sweating, but you ain't covering.
Ole Miss comes out with a play in the first quarter or something like that. Next thing you know, they're down 10-3 or something. And then it takes them a little while to get their legs under them a little bit. But there's no reason why they shouldn't beat the crap out of them. But Do you think we should take LSU?
I don't. I'm just.
We're laying a lot of points on somebody's.
I don't see too much on at night, so we might have to look at this Oklahoma Baylor.
I think I like Oklahoma to cover. What about I've been anti Syracuse this whole year, and it's really worked out for us. And I know you don't like Duke, but Syracuse is terrible. Terrible. And I know Duke isn't Duke's good.
Win by 10.5. Yeah. I mean, I got Syracuse is abysmal. So that's they give me no leg to stand on. I can't.
Syracuse has lived this whole season off of last year.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like for the first two or three games until Maryland whooped their ass, you're like, man, Syracuse is pretty good.
I was all over them on that game.
And then me too. And then the following week, they played like Central Michigan and covered. But I actually watched that stupid ass game, and that's when I knew, wait a minute, this team is not fucking good. And the best thing that happened to me was that they covered, because now I know they're not good. And so for the next few weeks, they still living off that, you know?
Yep. All right, I can go Duke. But that's you want to go Oklahoma?
Yes. I like Oklahoma.
And then Duke. All right, that's enough.
All right, we got Tulane goes to Temple. Temple's getting some points at home. I was kind of looking at Temple in this one.
Me too. I mean, if I had to bet that game, that's what I would do. It's plus six, I think I saw. Yes, six, 12 o'clock noon game. Temple's decent program. They're a good D. I think they keep it close. I would go with Temple in this one.
All right. Are we taking Florida or no?
No.
Okay. All right. So now we got Temple, Notre. Are we taking? Are we taking the Buckeyes?
Yeah, that's late at 52. Let's do it.
All right. We got Temple, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Wake Forest, Auburn, Virginia Tech, Minnesota, Duke, Oklahoma, Memphis, Alabama, and Penn State. 72-0. We're gonna be like Ohio State. We're gonna win 72. We're gonna be 72-0.
All right, we're going to score as many wins as Ohio State's going to score points.
Temple, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Wake Forest, Auburn, Virginia Tech, Minnesota, Duke, Oklahoma, Memphis, Alabama, Penn State. That's 1, 2, 3, and 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, that's about what we average, 12, 13. 12,
well, 12, but we also got 4 on Thursday and Friday. So we're at 16
those Thursday nights are for entertainment purposes. Only.
Right, that's right. So that's cool. We got that, and then now let's go right to the NFL. Anything? Okay, we got a big Thursday night game. You might be surprised at what I think about this Thursday night game. The Steelers go to Cleveland, a good old fashioned AFC North battle. Two teams are playing pretty physical.
Thinking about what you were going to do and what I was going to do. I am no way in shape or form in favor of anything that's going on with the Cleveland Browns. I'm all over the Steelers in this one.
Well, let me tell you.
You love the Browns.
Think the Steelers suck. Let me tell you why. Their defense is good, but they've been playing at home. Let's look at they've been playing at home the last few weeks. I watched the whole Indianapolis Colts game, right? Yeah. Colts are pretty good. They're a decent team. They're middle, just like everybody else in the NFL. We talked about it before. They're middle of the road, right? So the Colts, that game with the Steelers and the Colts, Brissett went down. And Hoyer still had several chances to win. He gave him a pick six for a touchdown. He gave the Steelers and all kinds of other chances. And Vinatieri even missed a field goal at the end to win the game. So that's how the Steelers won that one. I don't know what's going on with the Rams this week, but every time I watch the Steelers, this dude that they picked up from Miami, the defensive back, is just picking up the ball and running it in for a touchdown.
He's a jersey
every
boy.
Time. Yeah. Every time I watch the Steelers, the ball's just laying on the ground or it gets tipped up and handed to him, and he takes it and runs it in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And so the last bunch of games are they beat the Chargers. They won 4 in a row, right? Yeah. They beat the Chargers, who gave up, feels like, 18 turnovers when I watched the game.
That was the other quarterback.
Right. Yeah, that was like their third-string quarterback. Yeah. Yep. And then they beat the Dolphins. After the Dolphins got up 14-0, then they started just handing the ball to them and running back.
Yeah, that's when that was the Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Same thing with the Rams. Cleveland actually showed a little bit of toughness last week. They showed something. Let's look at – so I told you the last four games of them. The last bunch of games for Cleveland is they played Buffalo, who's a pretty good team. They got the win. They played at Denver, which Denver sucks, but that's not an easy place to play. But they suck. I'm not trying to put that in the – tough games they played category. Other than that, they played at New England, they played Seattle, and at San Francisco are their other four or five games. Man, I think I like Cleveland in this game. I like Cleveland minus the 3.
Minus the 2.5. I mean, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I did. Coach sucks. The quarterback is always whining. Now he wants the fans to be quiet when they're on offense now. Let's circle back.
All right, we'll circle back. What do you see on Sunday you love?
I got two games circled, only two. The Vikings are going to destroy the Broncos. That's easy. And I think the Bills are going to destroy the Dolphins. I know it's on the road, but the Dolphins don't have any talent. That's the easiest place in the world to play in South Florida, especially this time of year. Those are the two I have. I got the Panthers written down here, and I got I think the Eagles are going to play well. I got the under in that game. Eagles in the under. That's everything I have written down. You can't like the Dolphins.
I don't necessarily like the Dolphins, but I think the Bills are going on a road twice in a row. I'm not saying take the Dolphins. I didn't have them picked as one of my things, but we've been running with the Bills pretty good this year. That was a tough game they lost last week. I don't really have a big issue with taking the Bills, and they're the kind of team that like they play D and they kind of run the ball, and so they're kind of consistent. They're consistent.
Yeah, you know, they're consistent. That's, I think, I don't, again, this is not what I don't see. What's his name? Xavier Howard, whatever, their best defensive player is on the IR. I think the cornerback. They may score a couple of points just throwing the ball up to Devontae Parker. But Bills, I think, are just 7 points better no matter where they're playing at this point.
All right. What do you think about the Jaguars getting a few points from the Colts? Nick Foles, I think, is going to be back this week.
Nick Foles is back. Yes, I believe he is. I don't see it. There's no line. I got no line here. What do you got?
I got +3, the Jags at the Colts.
That's a toss up to me. That's a pick 'em. I mean, if you want to take that, we'll.
I love the Vikings though. I was all over that. What about the Ravens?
I looked at them.
I know you like the Texans. I know you like the Texans, but I think the Ravens at home, they're playing good, man. Dude, Lamar Jackson, did you see that run he had?
That was they crazy. Together?
That oh my good. God, dude, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, you know, Nintendo shit, whatever. Right. Tecmo Bowl. Right. Yeah, I like the Ravens. I'm not hard-pressed to take the Ravens at home -4.
San Francisco coming off a really tough, long overtime, all the way to the end of the overtime, ended up with the loss. I think their tight end is going to be out again another week here. They lost Emmanuel Sanders this week.
Yep.
As well. I know they play tough D. They're handing quite a bit of points to the Cardinals. That's a division game.
11.
I was thinking about taking the points in that game.
I wouldn't bet the Niners in that game. It's a toss up. I think it would be right there. How bad is Arizona? Who knows? I get exactly everything you're saying with the Niners. Yeah, I mean, you got to start betting against them. They're not going to go 16-0. They're going to lose a game somewhere along the way here. Yeah.
Well, they lost the other night, but
I just think
if the Cards can just not get rolled over, they can keep that within a.
Yep, I agree.
I don't think the San Francisco is just going to come out like gangbusters this week after that emotional loss on Monday night. You know.
Yep, I agree.
I'm a big fan. Well, I'm not a big fan. I like the Raiders now, but I don't like them laying. I'm not ready to lay 10.5 with them. Well,
who's the quarterback anybody. For the Bengals? Ryan Finley?
Yeah, they put a new guy in there last week, right? But he got.
I don't know. I haven't seen them play. I don't know what's going on with them. They're one of the worst teams in the league. Fuck.
They don't have a win. Don't have a win. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm not ready to. I like the Raiders. They're 5-4. I'm not ready to lay double figures with them. Did you say you like the Eagles this week?
I did. I mean, I figured we got to take some points somewhere. That's what I was thinking. In New England, the New England's offense. At New England's offense, I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do. They're so banged up on the offensive line. Philly's get it to 4 at home. I like them in that game. I like the Eagles. I do like the under. I don't know. It's just like the Eagles played that game close to the vest last week against. Chicago, I think it's going to be a similar score, a low-scoring game under the 45. But in that game, I would go with the Eagles and the under.
All right, I don't have any problem taking the home dog. I'm not so sure about the under in that game, though, man. I think both of these teams have a chance to score some points if they get a chance. All right, we'll take the Eagles. What about Sunday? We got Sunday night game and a Monday night game, obviously.
The Bears, I don't know. Who knows what's going on? But you could say the same thing for the Rams. In this game, to me, just looking at it, you got to take the Rams -6.5. I mean, Jared Goff is sucking it up, but there's no quarterback for this. There's not one. And the coach's head is spinning, Trestman. They are banged up on defense. I'll take the Rams minus the 6.5. We could buy it to 6. And then Monday night, yeah, I can't do it. Phillip Rivers, I'm still fucking with his no quarterback sneak. And
I'm not picking against the Chiefs in that game.
Yeah, Chiefs will take the Chiefs. We could buy it to 3. And then we want to go back up to Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I mean, it's easy enough for me to flip-flop on Pittsburgh.
We'll put it this way. If they burn us again, we will never speak of their – we will never speak the name again.
Speak their name or I'll never speak. Right. All right, fair enough. That's a good deal. I like that.
All right, fair Cleveland. Because, I mean, the Steelers – and right now everybody's on them. And they – I don't know how the fuck they win, dude. They Mickey Fitzpatrick just picks up balls and run them in. That's it.
They're on borrowed – right, borrowed time. Yep. I agree.
That's what I think. They've been at home. They've been playing shitty teams. And they're getting games just given to them.
They're getting the crazy bounces. Yep.
All right, so what we got? We got the Browns, we got the Jags, we got the Bills, we got the Vikings, the Ravens, the Cards, the Eagles, the Rams, and the Chiefs.
Yes.
That's 9 games.
That's right. That's about right.
Sounds good to me. All right, well, what do you think?
7-2, no doubt.
We gotta have big games, man. We got a lot
of winners.
Weeks.
A lot of winners. All right.
Don't forget, thank you, John Grove, for the bumper music. Thank you again, Devin Michael Snow, Hold the Mayo. You guys are great. iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. We're going to let Devin tell you a little something about when you listen to us on YouTube.
Tell him, Debbie.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on the Wager Makers podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dev. Don't forget, you can check us out on sportswatchmonitor.com, Facebook, The Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter, at The Wager Makers, Instagram, at The Wager Makers. If you want to email us about anything at all, we're The Major Wakers, TheWagerMakers@gmail.com. Web, man, we need a big week.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming, baby. Starting tomorrow night all the way through Monday night. We got this.
Lots of games. Don't forget, you can check out on Instagram all of our daily picks. Right now, we're number 3 in NBA, number 7 in college hoops, and NHL, we had a little rough week or two, but we're coming back.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Tell some friends. Let's get it going.
Thanks, guys. Brick by brick, baby.